Thanks for noticing my new shoes, man.
Yeah, it's a nice nice creamy.
It's a nice fall winter shoe.
Yes.
Do you think like that when you get stuff?
No.
So you have my summer shoes and my fall winter shoes.
I have like summer clothing.
These could pass as year round. But you got your Air Maxes, dude.
These are neutral. White and black. I feel like that's year round.
Mm-hmm.
These are my
That's nice. You gotta give you a little boost on the height though.
A little bit of a booster seat.
Come on.
The guy, I was like, can I get these in size 9.5? And he was like a waiter, like, now are we going to need a booster seat for one of you? And I said, yes, I will need a booster seat.
I will. This reminds me of a story. I was doing like met this girl online.
Nice.
And it was a funny thing. Yeah, but we were going to meet up.
Nice.
But, you know, of course you do your research, right? And I discovered this girl.
You go to the Facebook.
She played. Stop me if I've told this on the DLG pod before, but you do your research and I found that, you know, she like played a sport. So she, you know, her like stature online said she was 6'1".
Oh, cool.
And I was like, cause I'm maybe 6'1".
Yeah. Cool that was out there. Not cool for you though.
And I'm like, but you know, athletes tend to exaggerate. Like, mm-hmm. But I remember I looked through my sneakers and picked the fattest heel.
Like, what do I have?
And, just walked. Fucking real upright, but yeah, we were pretty much the same height. It's weird how much that I feel like 9% of the time I wasn't thinking about it. I was like, who cares? But there were moments where I was like, it's just weird that we care about that.
It is weird that we care, because I really do. It doesn't even seem like a pride thing. It seems like more of like this is deeply ingrained into me as a man that it can't work.
It's not our fault.
Taller. Yeah,
the girls have brainwashed us. You gotta be tall.
Something about it. Yeah, yeah. I don't notice that I'm taller when I'm wearing these, but when I take them off, it feels like I just came back down to earth. I'm like, whoa, I'm way lower now.
I've got probably literally 2 inches on Katie, maybe a little more. So there's moments where like I'm barefoot and she's got her sneakers on. I'm kind of like,
oh,
hey, you realize you're taller than me. She's like, stop. No, I'm not. And she'll wear like a small heel to like a wedding or something. And of course, like my dress shoes have a nice thing, but we're pretty much neck and neck when she wears, you know, her like 2 or 3 inch heels. And I just tease her the whole time. I'm like, do you wish I was 6'4", huh? She's like, no, you're perfect the way you are. And you just notice in pictures, she's kind of like, just do a little bit of a
lean down. Making herself a little lower than she is. What happened to your thumb?
Thanks for asking. Did you notice how good, did you feel like it smelled like linen and sky in here?
Exactly those two things.
Did you really?
Uh-huh.
So I did. Linen, I'm a big fan of the plugins that just emits the good smell.
Can you have named any two things that have a more neutral scent than linen?
That's what I'm going for.
Sky. Just neutral.
Oh my God. It smells like I was outside and when I stepped inside, it smelled the same.
Is that water vapor I'm smelling? Yeah. Oh my gosh. That is good.
wait. Is that toilet water?
It smells like carbon dioxide. Wow. That is good.
Yeah.
That is really good.
Thank you, man. It was a Febreze plug-in. I guess they're made of glass. So I dropped it and it shattered.
Oh, cool.
And so now I had this jagged, like, torture weapon thing. So you have to pull it out to insert the new one.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was just all glass shards. And I kind of just said, like, I tried banging it. I tried doing this. I'm like, I'm going to yank this out. I'm probably going to slice my hand open. And Katie was like, be careful. And I just did it. And it just immediately just bloody everywhere. So
how much?
It was like, those glass cuts on your hands bleed quite a bit. It was tiny, but we have no Band-Aids in the house. All we had was this leftover gauze and tape from my kickball injury. So we cut it down and I just wrapped it up. And I tried to take it off this morning and I looked down and it was bleeding again. So
wow.
Dude, all good.
Good for you.
What have you been up to, man?
Since yesterday?
Yeah.
Seen each other a lot this week.
I know. It's funny. We're going, we're getting ahead on the podcast. We're about to go on tour. I'm going to see some of y'all. Say what's up. So, we've done like 5 podcast episodes this week.
Yeah.
So what else is going on? Yeah.
Same as last time.
And we talked about how it's just the only, we're like, okay, what do we talk about on this podcast? We don't want to go on and on about politics. Everyone's tired of that. And you look up like, what's happening now? You're like, well,
mainly
this one big thing.
Mainly just the election. Dude, the funniest tweet that I've seen, actually, this probably won't translate well to a podcast, but, you know, amidst all these election tweets Tuesday night, you know, I'm just scrolling through Twitter, scrolling, and then I see one, and it just says, okay, I'll bite. What's the election? I thought it just, like, caught me at the right time.
So good.
It was so good.
Fine. What's going on?
Fine, I'll do it. I'll ask what everyone's wanting to ask.
Fine.
What is the election?
Oh.
Really made me laugh.
I know.
What'd you do last night? What have you done since I've seen you?
I just grabbed some food with friends. Went to Chicken and Pickle.
Nice.
It's a great establishment. I think they've got a few around the region now, but
around the region,
it's just a restaurant with pickleball courts attached. I did not play.
So you went more chicken than pickle last night.
Right. I did. I got the chicken. I was proud of myself because I ate. I think because of all the weird times and the stress, I usually try to. I'm getting back into exercising, which feels good. Back to going to the gym. Got a gym membership.
Next week, when we're on the road, we're going to be so fit.
We are.
Home workouts.
And so I usually try to make efforts with my eating, but recently I've just been like, I just make no efforts at all. So I went and I got just the chicken and tater tots meal.
Good.
And I ate it pretty quickly, and I was like, I could eat a whole nother one of those. And for 45 minutes, it was in the back of my head. As I was just talking to friends, I was like, I'm going to go in there and order another meal. And I was just like, no, you don't need to do this. And I didn't.
Really?
So, yeah, it was good.
You go to bed hungry?
As I'm saying, I'm starving right now.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
I'm very excited for our... So we can talk about, people are probably interested in this, a little bit about what makes the whole Trey Kennedy content tech. Jake and I have been getting together. We always, our kind of routine is like, get together mid-morning. I like to wake, what's your routine like? I have, in a perfect world, that's what I'm getting back into. I wake up, I go to the gym, I come back, I work for an hour or two, kind of just, you know, check some emails, that's such an annoying thing. Just some emails, right? And 8 emails that take 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then try to, you know, organize podcast material or get think about what we're doing that day. You come over about 10-ish, 11-ish. Mm-hmm. We do some stuff. We do a lunch break. Love the lunch break.
Lunch break is nice.
It's a great vibe. And then we come back, do some more. What do you do? Do you typically just roll out of bed and come here? Or do you get up and you get up and run a few miles? I don't want to judge.
No. Getting straight out of bed and coming here is also would not be helpful. I pound CBD first thing I do when I wake up. No, maybe someday I'll get there.
I wake up, I check the pulse. I'm so excited to check the pulse. No,
I get up. I'm not a morning person. Even less than you are. I think it's hard for me to do too much early in the morning.
You have no problem staying up all night.
Yeah, because quite honestly, I get so much work done. I'm so much more productive once everyone else in my social network has gone to sleep, and I don't need to check my phone anymore.
Derek, is that your vibe?
Yeah. What are you?
You editor Derek? Are you like an 8-to-5 guy? Or are you like a creative who I like to stay up late?
If you've noticed when the podcasts get complete, it's usually like 2 a.m. Okay, or something like that. So
that's your vibe. You're kind of, what's your like typical day to day? Do you kind of sleep in, you work late?
I'd love to, but,
you have like a 6-month-old, right?
Yeah. And plus the daylight savings, which has been very fun this week.
I know. I feel you. Yeah. That is funny. Cause the editor, we had a remote editor before and she was great. Shout out Kiara. I would notice, it's so funny to, because I try to do like an 8-to-5 thing. I don't know. I just like that. But I've always, you will send me edits, Jake, at 4 or 5 in the morning. Sometime. Sure. Derek is, I've noticed that. And then, yeah, Kiara, I mean, she'd be like, here's the new edit. It's like 5:45 a.m. Like, what are you guys doing? This is so funny.
It's like a thing. I think it really is. It's weird. They're like a video editor thing.
I worked with a music producer, man. He would be like texting me at 6 in the morning. He's like, yeah, sometimes I just kind of flip my schedule. I feel like more creative, so I like sleep during the day and work all night. You're an insane person.
Yeah, I don't know if I necessarily feel more creative. I just feel less distracted.
Sure.
Once everyone else is asleep. Same with college. Once I wouldn't study until like everyone had gone to sleep.
Yeah.
Because during the day, everyone just like wants to hang out. And I'm never going to say no to that.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess in my head, I put myself in a weird like, I guess that was my way of being like, I'm going to work for myself. So I need to have some kind of routine to like make sure I'm doing things.
No, and honestly, I like that how you do it. Because it's helped me try to do that more. Like, I don't really want to do much stuff after 5 p.m. typically. Like, obviously, it happens, but I've tried to, like, shift more stuff before. And it's nice.
It is.
I like it.
Yeah. Especially at the beginning, where, like, literally, because I feel like you, I don't know about you too, Derek, but you, Jake, you feel like you have a lot of kind of work for yourself friends. So you guys are all kind of just doing whatever. Mm-hmm. But all of my friends were corporate 8-to-5. So I'm like, they're off at work. I'll work when they work and we can all hang out after.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the idea.
But. Yeah. We should also talk about lunch breaks. They used to be...
Yeah, so I lived out in the burbs.
In the burbs, it was Chipotle or Chick-fil-A 90% of the time.
Yep.
That's all we ever did.
We did a little... Yeah, we'd go rogue every now and then. We hit a Firehouse Sub once or twice.
We hit a Firehouse Sub like once, like a Pie 5 like twice.
Yeah, but it just wasn't right.
Twice in like 2 years, too. Yeah. Like, we're really going to Chipotle, Chick-fil-A. And now, Trey lives in Tijuana, Mexico, basically. It's amazing. We've been to two places, and both times I'm like, I don't feel like I'm in America. Yeah. It's so authentic.
There's 11 authentic Mexican places near me, and I'm just, we got to try them all.
I mean, it really is.
That one was fire. I'm going to have to go back to
the first one?
Yeah.
The first one was nice.
That's kind of what I've been hoping we're doing, I guess. It felt nice. And it's funny because I had the same, I had just like bone on the bone chicken last night, and I'm going to have it again for lunch.
Dude, welcome to my diet. No red meat. I mean, all I consume is chicken and fries with chicken. I don't know. That's about it. I was trying to think of something else. I was like, no, that was chicken.
No, that's it. Maybe mashed potatoes on a nice.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
You never forget when we were in LA and we were shooting and we wrapped up. And yeah, I appreciate like a healthy meal as long as it tastes good. I try to do that. So we were in LA, you know, they got all sorts of sweet greens this and healthy crap this.
I know what story you're talking about.
So you just walk in and I got like the grilled chicken with, you know, veggies and a salad or something. Like, cool. I mean, this will, and it, of course, is like $18, but it tastes good. And I'm like, I'm going to take advantage of this. And you're like, oh, give me that fried chicken, double mash. And you're just like, this mash is so good.
What was the name of that place we went to?
It was like, I think
it was. Because I never even like heard of it.
Yeah. Was it, it was sweet green? No, it wasn't sweet greens. Was it like
green
flower
tomatoes
child or
something? Yeah,
it was one of those chains where it's just healthy, but.
Santa Monica.
We went somewhere in Atlanta and Katie's like, this is my favorite. It was called Metro Fresh or something. And it was what you just had, again, it was like you chose your protein, a couple sides. And it was one of those where I ate it and the words came out of my mouth were, I was like, oh, this is healthy. Because it didn't taste that good. Oh, you know what I mean?
When this like, is farm to table.
Yeah,
this
when you know they're like, this isn't Chipotle healthy. We're like, well, it's like beans and chicken and veggies. That's all healthy for you, right? But you're like, however much sodium, MSG, you've done something to this where it's really good.
Yeah, yeah.
And you went, when you eat a healthy, you're like, oh.
Like this still
this
has,
is okay.
This still has dirt on it. Like just pulled this up from the ground, like just now. This is really healthy.
Oh, Katie, she's a terrible cook.
Really?
Yeah.
What has she tried?
It's fine. Well, we don't really cook at all, and that's fine. Mainly these days with how you can order food and get food at restaurants pretty affordably, I'm like, I don't know if I'll ever cook it again. But she's as big. She just doesn't care. She's like, this is a salad with like a drop of balsamic vinegar on it, and I like it. Hmm. She just no salt, no seasoning at all.
Keeps
ultimate
it simple.
White girl, yeah.
Yeah.
She made veggies one time, and it's like, you gotta put more salt on there. You gotta. But no, to her credit, I've teased her, and she did once or twice. She's like made a full on recipe. And if you follow a recipe, there's no failing really. It was great.
Yeah. When people say they're a bad cook, I'm like, well, if you have the recipe, how bad can you be? Like,
right.
I feel like it's the recipe's fault.
True.
Probably, right?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm not a cook.
Are you? What's your Thanksgiving vibe this year?
Kind of like what we were talking about on the Do Less, God Bless podcast last week. It's a lot of beige and brown.
Oh, yeah. We did talk about that.
Yeah. I'm that's what I'll be eating. Doing. Oh, yeah. You're excited, aren't you?
Yeah, because I was with family this week. Had to go down for a funeral, RIP, but it wasn't too sad of a funeral, you know, old age. It's all good. But I just got to see the whole fam, which was fun. It was kind of like a warm up to Thanksgiving because we sat down and had a meal and you had little politics start getting fired up. And it's like me and my cousins are definitely less aggressive than like the older generation who's, you know, they're good old Oklahoma conservatives. They get fired up a little bit. And we're like, we don't know. And all my cousins and my sister, you know, sister, they're all women. So they're like, oh, we don't. And they're all really nice. It's like, we don't really want to talk about this.
It is a nice pregame for Thanksgiving.
It was a pregame. Thanksgiving's going to get fired up. And we're hosting and I'm cooking. Of course, although you can't do that. You have to cook Thanksgiving for 12 people. So I've committed to like, I'm going to slave away. And I need some Do Less Guest help. Like what do I make? Do you have a recipe that knocks people's socks off? Send it to me. I'll make it. Dead serious.
Trey would like his family members to not have socks on Thanksgiving. So whatever you
knock
can do
right
to help that.
It better not be healthy. It better be that triplet brown.
Yeah. Give me that triplet brown. That's the color of Trey's shoes is what I want the dish to look like.
Yeah.
You need to have like, you need to slave away. You need to have really good meals, really good sides. But then you also need to have a cherry on top. Not literally, but you need to have like, well, you did all this and you got a small pony for us to ride on.
And there's a mariachi band.
Yeah.
I met them at one of the taco places. They're awesome. And they just come in. Da, 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 da. I remember we always went to this Mexican place in the town I grew up in where they just had a guy walking around playing a mariachi style guitar the whole time.
Just walking soloist?
Singing. Huh. It was awesome.
You never see him on their own like that.
No,
he branched off.
He was kind of a lone ranger.
He's kind of
a lone Hispanic.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of a better word.
Yeah. I imagine it was like, it used to be like Uno Dirección, and he kind of split off Harry Styles. Yeah. He's doing his own thing. Yeah.
Right.
So we used to have a little mariachi thing. Yeah. He went off on his own One Direction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen a mariachi band in person. That's too bad. I'll get there someday, maybe.
You do. You need to see that.
Also, it's kind of a bummer to the other like Central and South American countries that we always call it like a Mexican restaurant. There's no way that there's not ever just like a Bolivian running this restaurant or a Colombian.
There was a couple El Salvadoran restaurants back in the suburbs.
See, now we're talking.
It was one of those where like went to one. If you are close to one of these people running a El Salvadoran or Mexican restaurant, you ever been to one where like, so the one I'm talking about is a tiny hole in the wall in like nowhere, Kansas, and you'll order this feast and they'll be like, yeah, that'll be $4.80. I'm like, charge me more, sweetheart.
I would love to pay
you
more.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, this is absurd. It was one of those where like hole in the wall. The people running it is literally like the mom and her husband and her son, and they're just like, hey, can I get this? We're like, we're actually closed, but I'm down to just make you something. It's just like I went to her house, and they set it down and like have a conversation with you, and it's a feast for $4. I'm like, I tip her well.
That's awesome.
Those are the best kind of places.
I met a
and it's all brown. You would love it.
It's all
just cheesy and brown.
Don't call him that. come on, we're better than that. Don't call him that.
Okay, is that a context? It's all brown, I promise.
Just how you like it.
That's true, though, man. When you go to any foreign type of food restaurant and it's like, you know, just a white family running it, like, get me out of here.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a French restaurant recently, and this has never experienced this. A French restaurant, and the guy waiting on me is like, Nietzsche Kyoza? I was like, oh, this is legit. Where are you finding this French guy?
Yeah, oui, oui.
In the middle of Missouri. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And that's when you know it's going
to
be good.
It's going to be good. You don't like have to worry about the price. It's like, I'll pay him anything. This is authentic.
Or I like when I went to this authentic Chinese place and they're like, here's the menu. And it's like American Chinese.
Yeah.
And they're like, here's like the like real deal. But we suggest, you know, they're kept, in a nice way. They're like, white people don't like.
You're like, not going to like this.
And it is like weird, but I'm like, I want the real deal.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I've never once asked for the real deal. I'm always like, what's the sweet and sour? How do I say that? I met the owner of a Chinese restaurant recently on the pickleball courts.
Oh, I bet he was good at pickleball.
So yeah, dude, let me tell you this story. we come in second place in this tournament. We lose to this father-son duo.
Mm.
Last name is Chang. They were nasty.
Yeah,
like we did pretty good getting the championship, and then they just steamrolled us. They were so good.
I bet. Describe like, if you're a pickleball player and you line up across from a duo, describe the most intimidating duo on the pickleball court possible. What's the most? I mean, if you see this combo of two people, you're like, oh, it's kind of like growing up. I played competitive basketball, and you walk in and just the whole side of the gym that you're playing, every player on the team is black, all the coaches are black, all the audience is black, they're hooping and hollering, they're dunking, and you're like, we are in for quite a time here shortly. I remember playing, like, being in sixth grade, and your coaches have to be like, they could just read it. You know, you walk into that atmosphere and be like, hey, we can beat these guys. You come on. And you're just like, I am actually scared.
Yeah. I remember.
So what's that in pickleball?
Hold on. Now I have a story about that too. Because I remember, one time junior year, I just started playing varsity basketball and we have to go to Springfield Central. I'm from a tiny little town. We don't play, Derek knows, he's from the same area as me. Mm-hmm. We don't play Springfield Central. They're like four times as big as us. I don't know why they're on the schedule. Their basketball gym is called The Pit. And they were also a very urban school like you're describing. And I remember, for one, being scared.
When you get in the pit, you don't get out, huh?
Two, our coach recognizing we were being scared and saying maybe nine times some borderline racist things to us, but to try to not make us scared. But then three, like, it's called the pit because the student section is, like, above you, looking down at you.
Mm.
And I remember...
Just laughing at you?
I got a steal, like early in the game, I felt so good. I like have like a breakaway layup, and then like I go up to shoot the layup, and all these guys just start barking at me from above, slammed it off the back of the backboard. I was so scared. I was terrified, dude.
Guy jumps down from the pit and blocks it.
Like, that's allowed here. Goaltending's
allowed.
What
are you gonna say about it? What are you gonna say? Man.
Oh man, it was scary.
Yeah, I remember specifically. Specifically, did I say syphilis kind of just then? Specifically. This one, I think they beat us 63 to like 18, just routing us. And they're and then they just pile it on. They're laughing. I remember going to watch one of my friend's little brothers play. And it, when you're 12 at the time, you're just kind of in your own head, right? Oh, I was with a buddy of mine. We were like college age, and his little brother is probably like 12. He's playing middle school ball, and they're playing the middle school team who has the like the all black team.
Yeah.
And oh, they're just getting destroyed. And to what you're watching this, it's like my friend's little brother. And I'm like, oh. I can't. The day I watch my child line up against this type of team, I'm gonna just be like, this is, cover your eyes, honey. It's not be pretty. I mean, there was just like, because then black people have no mercy, right? They're like, we're gonna beat you down. We're gonna make fun of you.
We're better than you.
And we're better than you. And they're beating him so bad. And watching this guy be like, yeah, make him, you know, make him look like a fool, son. And this kid's out, like, he crosses the kid at half court, and the kid kind of stumbles, and he backs up, and you, like, points at him, and everyone's like, ah! I'm
like, it's like the And-One mixtape tour.
I can proudly say I was never crossed up and fell down. Partly because I never tried that hard on defense. I was more like, let's get to the offense part. But
yeah. Proudly the second say that. Scariest thing, I think, in, like, like early age basketball is playing against a team that has like matching uniforms or like the very like personalized, like embroidered uniforms. They got like
some sponsor bought them all matching Jordans.
Yeah.
Like, oh, these guys, someone believes in these guys. Like
Godfather's Pizza and one of the dads went in together, mm-hmm. and like their names are on the back,
right.
And we're 11 years old. Like, dang it. They're probably going to be good. Like, these are all like,
but that the type of business matters, right?
Yeah.
Right. If it's like Gus's soul food, You're like, oh no, but you know, my dad's small business, Kennedy Tire Shop. It's like,
we might be all right against Kennedy Tire. Like, yeah, I don't. That's a good point. Kennedy Tire doesn't really like scare me that much.
Oh, they run a great business of small business, family values, but they're gonna get ducked on by Anita's hair salon. They're not gonna match up well.
Their defense also has family values. Very very lenient. Very nice. Anyway, so the scariest thing on the pickleball court is, I think, like, an older gentleman wearing cargo shorts. It's the scariest thing.
Yeah.
Because I've learned, cannot judge a pickle book by a pickle cover.
Mm-hmm.
Because you just don't know. Yeah, they could look pretty unathletic, but it's like, oh, they've been quietly playing pickleball for 6 years. Right. And I've been doing this for 6 months.
Right.
And they could just wipe the floor with you. Right. So I think the scariest thing is someone who doesn't look athletic.
What's scarier? If you line up across maybe two old men, they got on, like, glasses and cargo shorts? Or if you line up across, like, weird combo, but somehow they're just into it, like a 60-year-old Korean guy with like a mom who pulled up in a Escalade.
Easily the second one.
Yeah.
Like, if you're a girl playing with a guy, you are nasty.
Right.
You're good. The two old men.
You started playing with your suburban moms, and you're like, you know what? I need to upgrade here. I'm into this, more into this than you guys are.
Janet is not cutting it.
You can still get coffee.
Janet's backhand sucks. Yeah. I got to move on to the boys.
That guy over there, he's got a nice lefty swing, and we need to pair up.
Yeah, the old men are usually pretty nice with it, but never having too much trouble with the older gentleman. But yeah, throwing like a middle-aged Korean guy with a woman, that's scary. Oh wait, so I gotta talk about the restaurant owner, pickleball. So yeah, father-son duo Cheng. It was like I was in an episode, the part of the movie where like the main character finds out like information. It was like I had a wise old janitor experience. After I get done getting beat by this father-son duo, this like really, really old man is like telling me like, you know who that was, don't you? I'm like, no, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Why would I know who that is? And so he's telling me, he's like, well, the dad, he's been like the owner operator of like Sunflower Garden or like one of those things for like 35 years, still cooks in the kitchen every day. And he has like a, you know, like this humongous skillet that he still like tosses rice in. And they're like, they think that that's why he's so good at pickleball, because his wrist is so strong, because he's like still like tossing rice. He's been doing it for 30 years. Like everything is just like, so like his backhand is so good. And I was like, that makes sense.
It does.
That makes sense.
That actually makes a lot of sense.
And then he's like, you know who his son is? I'm like, dude, no. Like, If anyone out there is listening and you're 85 years old and you're asking someone, you know who that is? They don't know. You're the only one who knows who that is. So his son, he's
you
like,
see him like go pick up his son with just his wrist. He's like, come here.
Lifts him up.
Yeah.
His son, I guess, he started by saying he's a Chinese baseball legend. And I was like, okay. Well, let's back up. But he starts telling me stories. And apparently just like 3-4 years ago, he was playing for the Chinese national baseball team and hit like a walk-off home run in the world game. So not quite the Olympics, but like the world
with just his wrist.
Baseball games. Just one wrist. That's went out there, went up with a toothpick. Wasn't even a bat. Yeah. Went up with a couple chopsticks actually. And
just like there's just ding on the wrist. That's how that family line does it.
That's how they do it. And I hit like some walk-off home run against like Taiwan or something. And like, he's like crazy recognized in China. That's and now awesome. He's in Kansas playing pickleball. And I'm like, well, just, no wonder I lost just, him. This dude's a freaking like
just owning athlete. Yeah.
But I looked it up afterwards and it's all true. The old man was right.
So like, wow, he's like legitimately famous. And
he's like a big area. Deal. Like was one of the best baseball players in China. Why not that long now? Ago. I don't know.
Just ready to conquer America now. Job accomplished here.
Yeah. Just one by one.
Yep.
So I was like, well, I don't feel bad that I lost him. Now these guys are incredible.
That reminds me of the story. Stop me if I've told this. I think I have when I lost to a foot race to a girl when I was like 6.
Yeah.
And she turned out to be, she like made the Olympic soccer team.
Like, this is actually kind of cool now. Cool.
I'm glad. Cause I felt like I was pretty quick. But a girl beat me. I remember getting doing an arm wrestling contest in 4th grade. You know, it's like, no, it's at puberty. So the girls just, two girls were the two champs of the whole class.
Well, yeah, girls hit puberty earlier.
Dana, dude.
Dana.
She had probably an 18-inch arm. She was a beast.
We called her Dana White because she was someone at UFC.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder where she is now. She's a beast.
One other thing about the Changs. Sorry, just thought of something else. Yeah. Afterwards, the father, the rice cooker, he super nice guy. He's like, let's play more pickleball more often. Let me have my wife get your phone number. So I give my phone number to his wife. I notice that she doesn't have an iPhone. They don't text me at the time.
No blue text.
Yeah, yeah, so I was like, we're probably not going to play pickleball. And then probably like 2 days later, I get a text from an iPhone that, I kid you not, it's a GIF of like a Chinese chef kissing an egg roll. That's all it is.
And you that you just knew what it meant. It's just chicken and pickle, 10 minutes.
I didn't know, though. I was like, this is probably Chang, but like his wife was the one who got my number. And she didn't have an iPhone, so like, does he have an iPhone?
They just got the number to just intimidate you.
And he's like a 60-year-old man. Like, is that how he texts? Like, is that how he introduces himself to people? Is a kissing egg roll text?
Just a gif of him handling this 30-pound rice cooker and just flipping you the bird with the other hand or something.
I mean, it was seriously like, what do I do here? Because I don't want to ask, who is this? Because then it's like, oh, I'm not cool now. Like, I want to play along with it. So I replied back a gif of the son, or like the kid, the karate kid. And like waving to Mr. Miyagi. So I figured that like that would be my role in this. I would wave to the Chinaman.
Dude, are you low-key getting a Mr. Miyagi in your life?
I thought at the time I was really excited. I was like, this is probably Chang. He's kissing my egg roll. And then he texted me, what plans do you have in November or something like that? Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, this could definitely still be him.
You tell me, master.
I think I said, like, I've traveled quite a bit. Like, what'd you have in mind? And then he never texted me back. That's the end of the story.
I think it's lesson one. He's going to text you in like 2 weeks. He's like, patience.
You have failed. Come and paint my fence. You have failed. Dang it.
Wax my Prius. Wax on, wax off. Man, dude, if you get a Mr. Miyagi in your pickleball journey.
Oh, it's over. It's over for the middle-aged women.
Yeah.
Gonna destroy them.
That would be so... You might, I mean, in 10 years, we'll be talking about like the Jake Triplett pickleball movie, like the pickleball kid.
The and pickle like, kid.
All right, sir, when do we start the pickleball drills? That's every sport ever where they're like, we're ready to shoot some hoops. They're like, our first 10 practices, we only have a basketball.
What do you have that basketball for?
Yeah. You're like, this is kind of like, I guess what you're trying to do, but surely this would be better if we had a basketball.
Yeah.
Coach He's like, Carter, no.
Yeah.
You cook rice for 6 months.
Yeah.
Until you hold paddle, you must strengthen, and you're just so pouring sweat. You're like, how do you lift this thing?
I want to use my other hand to lift it. Oh. Yeah, I show up to pickleball practice the first day with him. He's like, dude, why do you have the paddle? He's like, first you must kiss the egg roll.
Yeah.
And it's like a little weird. Yeah. He like brings this egg roll for me to kiss. I'm like, dude, can we just play pickleball?
Yeah, I mean.
Really don't want to kiss
you
your kiss egg
and
roll.
And you're like, oh, actually, yeah, you just take a bite. That is good.
That is actually really good. And I skip lunch.
I love first weird text with like in all the house renovation stuff, I accidentally texted my like contractor something weird that I meant to text someone else, like to Katie or something.
Yeah.
And I remember one that was funny where I went to church like last Christmas back home, and we kind of met this like family friends, like friend of a friend. It was like, you know, hardly know these people, but they're like, hey, they're in the area. Maybe we should. And he was very nice. He's like, let's change numbers when we get together. I'm always down. So I was like, sure, man. And this is, you know, like my parents' friends' friends. So it's like church related. So it seems very churchy. And I just later, like an hour later, I get a text that's like, hey, man, here's my number. It's, you know, it's Brian, Christmas emoji, middle finger emoji.
Oh.
And I was like, what?
Brian.
And I show it to people. I'm like, am I seeing this? And they're like, and a couple people know him. And they're like very like straight edge people, I think. So they're like, but here's the only explanations, right? Either he's trying to be kind of funny and edgy, or clearly that's in his like recently used emojis. That so he like accidentally said. But I was just, I never responded
because I don't
was,
know.
I was like, let me give this a few hours. Surely he'll circle back and be like,
oh whoops,
like, whoops, or maybe he could double down. But
that's exactly what I would have done too. I would have just waited for him to own up to it.
It just never happened. I'm like, I don't. I just loved it. Yeah.
That's funny. The middle finger emoji.
Yeah.
I don't really use that
kind
one.
Of a power move. Hey, man. Yeah. Nice to meet you. I'll text you. I'll get in contact. Hey, man. It's Trey. All right. I don't. Can we text him back?
Yeah. Back in college, I switched one of my buddies. I had his phone and I just switched. Didn't do anything that evil. Could have done a lot of things, but just switched his girlfriend and his mom's name in their phone.
Oh, that's
so that when he went to text one, he would hit up the other.
Was it good?
I don't know. It's one of those pranks. It's like, I hope this was funny, but I can't really like monitor this.
I heard of one. We all lived in college together. A buddy of mine would take someone's phone and like text a girl he knew, just like, hey, what's up? And then delete it. So he just repeatedly, this guy was going to his phone and girls were just saying like, hey.
Hey, dude.
Hey. And he was just like, this is, man, I'm killing it. And so he's just responding to his girls like, yeah, what's going on? Thinking they're hitting him up. It's so funny.
It's like getting, like calling someone.
Yeah.
You do a little small talk. Anyway, what did you want? It's like, you called me.
Oh, that's a class. It's my favorite classic one. When I call someone, they call me back and I go, so what do you need? They go, you call me. I go, no, I didn't.
No, I mean.
And they're so confused. It's all the time.
You just called me just now.
Yeah.
One of my favorite little pranks like that to do on a similar note is like, let's say I wanted to mess with you. Obviously, I wouldn't do this now. You are a married man. But 2 years ago.
What? Okay, that was a weird way. Let's say I want to mess around with you a little bit. Obviously, I wouldn't do it. You're married.
Obviously, I wouldn't do it. Derek's in the room. But let's say like 2 or 3 years ago, if I wanted to mess with you, I would go to people you're following. So essentially the people you should know.
Mm-hmm.
And this works better if you're not really an influencer. But it's like a normal person. I go to the people you're following. I try to find like a girl who looks like she's our age. Has a public profile, and then you're looking for two things. One, you want to scroll down pretty far because the longer back it is, the weirder it is. And then maybe find a little like bikini picture or something a little like where the girl looks good. I would comment on the picture and I would tag you in it, my friend, and I would say something like vaguely descript, just like, oh, I see what you mean now. And then just like not do anything else. Like that's it. And then like you are like, I didn't ask for this.
I
didn't say anything. And so usually the girl is like commenting like WTF. And then you're like having to be like, dude, why did you do that?
I love, because so many people handle that so poorly.
Yeah, right? They don't
like it's so easy to just embrace it. Or I would just double down and be like, I would just use it as an alley-oop.
Talking about your feet.
Yeah. Yep, the knees. Just good knees. Yeah,
good knees. Very, very
Yeah, so be like, well, I didn't know. I didn't see anything.
Dude. Oh, that was the best part. Was like, what do I want to say? That's like not that specific, but just like, you know, just something to just like make the people wonder, like, what is he talking about?
Yeah. Oh, I see it now. Just tag your friend.
Yeah. Oh, I see it now. Yeah. Trey and Kennedy.
That's really funny.
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
It's like, what does that mean?
Dude, you ever had the waffles at Waffle House?
Oh, of course.
How many do you think I could eat?
Good question. I think maybe you could put down 3 or 4.
Like, if it was a comp, I'm like, I'm trying to eat as many as I can. You only think I eat know. Four?
I guess, I don't know.
Because I can't really remember how big they were.
I mean, they're like a full plate size. It's so like here, I'm usually eating like chocolate chip waffles with milk.
So here's the issue. I am in a fantasy football league with some buddies in the area. And we discovered that this wasn't our original idea, but the last place punishment is you have to spend 24 hours at a Waffle House.
Incredible.
And you get an hour off for each waffle you consume in that time span.
That's kind of fun.
Right? It is. But I am the favorite.
You're trending towards last.
Dude, I mean, my team's falling apart. My only player that's worth anything I now saw is maybe injured. I have guys on bye weeks. I mean, I don't know. And I've always liked to think I could eat. Like, I'm pretty good and like, can I eat a lot? But I'm starting to worry. I forgot how big they were. And I looked it up. I was like, man, those are pretty big. And yeah. I think I might have to spend at least 16 hours in a Waffle House. Yeah. So I don't know. I just want to get that out there.
Yeah. Like, you've got some time before you finish in last.
Last time I've been to Waffle House is where I took a girl I was dating there for Valentine's Day.
Smart.
Last time I've been.
Huh. And that's crazy. That didn't work out. You and her. That's really surprising.
Okay. Let me tell this whole story. I'm so confident this was a good move. And I'm so annoyed. So many people were judging me. So this was a deal where, like, we've just been on a few dates in like late January, right? So we're hitting Valentine's Day. It's the weird moment where like we aren't like boy girl, but we're kind of like in a
boy
thing.
Girl, yeah.
Yeah, we're kind of a thing, and so I don't feel like I should go out on this Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
This is probably in hindsight reflective of how I was feeling about the future of this relationship as well, because now that I think about it, I knew Katie for like a week and I bought her all flowers on Valentine's Day.
Let's go.
So now as I'm saying it, I'm in kind of a tool. But Waffle House does a fun like they decorate their place in Valentine's decor, and they kind of do this fake, like, the hostess wears a suit and kind of seats you, and they give you like a pink heart shaped waffle. So it's like candlelight. So it is kind of a fun thing.
They throw on some linen and sky to kind of mask the secondhand smoke that was there for the 40 years before they outlawed it.
They just kind of sprinkle rose petals on like the homeless asleep guys in the corner to kind of like
completely blend in with the jukebox.
Yeah.
No, it's fine.
So that's what I did, and everyone was like, "What, you're ridiculous, what?" I'm like, "Oh, I barely know this girl still." Mm-hmm. And that's the last Waffle House experience I've had. And they were pretty good sized waffles. Delicious.
No, Waffle House is great. Yeah. I think you should go soon, maybe. Not to try and like see how many you can consume, but just to get an idea for like, what's my pace going to be? It's like training for a marathon, I think.
That's not a bad idea. I really think I might do a training day. If I'm starting to feel like I could do this, I might do a training day.
Like, if you lose the next 2 weeks, I think it's time.
Yeah.
Go up to Waffle House and...
Let's get a feel for it.
Meet Gladys, meet, you know, Bernice, and have a couple waffles.
Right.
That is so 24 hours.
But I am kind of excited because, you know, I feel like Waffle House, IHOP, those places, they do a good job of getting wait stuff that's really kind of makes you feel like home.
Exactly.
I'm here eating pancakes at 2 a.m. My life, I'm making weird decisions in my life, and I'm glad you're here to kind of be with me. I remember it used to be our thing going all the time, and there's this guy who was always there. And he was, I don't know, probably like Pakistani or something, but he was real personal. He's like, he'd fill up our waters, and he'd go, "Scotch on the rocks, hold the scotch." Or he'd like, as he poured the water, stuff like that. Funny guy. And then he talked about how there'd be like a, you know, it's 3 a.m. at IHOP. We're all like 18. And there'd be like a girl in the corner who looked crazy and had purple hair. He'd be like, "She pretty hot, huh?" And we'd be like, "Yeah, man, I don't know." He started recognizing us, and we just had a good time with him. We'd be chilling there. I put the cherry syrup on the pancakes. Had a great time.
If you were to lose, when would your Waffle House marathon be?
So I've thought of this. I think I would wake up.
I was specific for now, at least, like, which day? Where would it be? Like December? I'm trying to plan around when we're going to have just the most podcast material of all time.
Yeah. I think I would wake up probably on. So the season ends. So the. The two last people will play in the Waffle Bowl.
Okay.
I think that happens the Saturday, the Sunday before Christmas, December 20th.
Oh, so you got time.
So I'd probably be looking into the start of 2021. I'd be going that. So that'd be a great start to the year. I'd probably wake up early on like a Tuesday or Wednesday.
Good.
I'd hit the gym. I'd do a hard cardio. Really get the blood pumping, really get the metabolism going, really get the hunger driving. I'd sit down, I'd order a water and a coffee. I'd pay attention to not consume too much of those.
You would start with a coffee?
Just a sip, to just enjoy the experience.
Okay.
But I would And I, you know, I'd say, listen, what's your name? And hopefully it's some really motherly, like 60-year-old woman.
Phyllis.
Names like Donna or something. Donna. Yeah. I'm like, listen, I'm going to be here for a while. We're going to be friends here. I just need your support. I have a nice book. I have my phone. I have some headphones. I'm just going to dive in. And I quickly polish off probably four. I'd be like, okay. Well, four in an hour.
Big workout.
Yeah. I'm like, I got 19 hours left. I'm probably pretty full. I'm just going to take my time. Da-da. Give me a couple more. I'd say, Donna, I need another waffle.
I'd like to start a tab.
Yeah. Every 45 minutes, you bring me another waffle. And I hope, I think I could eat 10. I think so. I don't know.
Dude, you're going to be, I've done one of these eating challenges before and it sucks. Oh, it's not yeah. good. I tried to eat $100 worth of McDonald's one time and I was, it. Good luck.
I feel like you're a big eater though.
No, but yeah, still, you know what I mean? I mean, anyone consuming the same thing.
I would say 64 nuggets at Chick-fil-A.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Entire plate. And I mean, when I tell you, I felt, we had a competition. It was like, I apologize if I've said this. In college, we randomly, Chick-fil-A offered in the college town like $12 all you can eat nuggets. And I noticed they never did that again. Because, I mean, all my buddies alone, we went and had probably 1,000 nuggets.
$12 for all you can eat?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a good deal for them.
No. On the college town.
No, probably not.
I couldn't do that now, but yeah, I went berserk. It was great.
Are the other people in your league going to like monitor you? Are they going to like come visit you in the Waffle House to make sure you're there and everything?
No, I mean, no, I think there should be a strict no visitation because it needs to be horrible. I mean, if I go and hang out with my buddies at a Waffle House, it'd be a great time. So that's I think my plan is to, you know, maybe say, maybe do a video. Hey guys, this is Donna. She's a respectable woman. She's not going to lie about this. And you know, maybe I bring in a little tripod and I do a time warp video of the whole thing.
Nice.
I think is the idea. Maybe that's part of Derek's role. Like, sorry, Derek, this is above and beyond. But
I'll edit the podcast this week. I need you to film me for 24 hours straight. Make it fun. No. Make it fun.
So yeah, man.
Do less guests.
What are you doing this weekend?
This weekend, honestly, not that much. I just be hanging here. It's gonna be 75 degrees. Hopefully, just doing a lot of stuff that's outdoors.
Awesome. We're taking off for Florida Monday.
And then Florida Monday. Yeah, by the time this comes out, we're already back from Florida.
Yeah, so hopefully see some Do Less Guests in Florida.
I think it went well.
But yeah, I'm trying to get the update on tickets. We got a lot of them sold out. It's going to be a good time. Oh, I have to talk about this. I'm going to doing a private show for University of Connecticut.
Oh, yeah. Katie was telling me this when I walked in.
And so they're like COVID. So the idea is the university wants to put like 400 people in like a 2,400 seated auditorium. So
how fun is that?
That's going to be weird, but you know what? It'll be fun. It'll be cool. Da, da, da. So we're going. And then my agent emailed me last night. He's like, not to kind of be the bearer of bad news, but listen, they still want to do this. They're still excited to have you, but because of new, they've decided to change it up. And now there'll be 100 people in a thing. I don't know if you can picture this, but a 2,500 capacity auditorium. I mean, it's a huge room.
I mean, it's like three times the size of anything that I've like.
Huge.
That we did on the last tour.
And they're going to put 100 people in it. It's not, it's going to be horrible, but we'll make the most of it.
That is going to be weird. Like, at that point, do you even use a microphone? I mean, they're going to be so close to you.
Yeah. Let's just hang out,
just
guys.
Just gather around. Just sit crisscross applesauce around the stage.
So, I think we'll see. I'm thinking I might do less jokes and more Q&A. That just seems...
I absolutely would.
100 people want to do that. It'll be kind of fun and small, and we'll do it. We'll make it
How do they decide, like, okay, 400 people have already bought tickets for this. Now we get to just decide that 300 of you don't.
I don't know what the details are, but I just thought it was funny when I saw that email. Because I was already like, this is going to be lame. And it's like 100 people now. It reminds me of when I did a weird speaking thing for the Grizzlies. There was like 300 people in their arena that holds like 12,000 people.
Yeah.
And they had me on the like arena like sound system. Oh. So it was just like, hello.
Hello.
To like a few hundred people.
At guard. It's like you're doing the player intros.
Yeah.
Do you think you'll do any election jokes? Anything topical? Like just this month while we're on the road? I was thinking about it yesterday. I was like, should I do any of this?
You can. I think I might briefly acknowledge it, but I think people know me and us to, we're not touching on that too much. So they probably just want to not hear about it.
Yeah, that's a good call. I think I might throw Nevada as a punchline for something, but then I was also like...
Yeah, I think it's a punchline. I think it should be acknowledged, because remember the... But that was right when COVID happened, but people were getting tired of it, but the punchline was good, so there's some there. I'm going to...
The coronavirus.
I'm going to try out a Bernie Sanders joke I wrote a long time ago that I think could be nice, so...
For the song, are you going to go back to The original? With or are you going Corona? Virus. Really?
Yeah.
It's still around.
Good. Yeah. Worked out. We'll see.
Yeah.
See the reaction is. But
there is a, yeah, just quick, you know, do less guess. We pull back the curtain. We want you guys to see how the sausage is made, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
We want you guys to look at our hot dogs.
We sure do.
Well, not like that.
Yeah.
But
serve me up a brat.
Trey has this song where the original line rhymed with,
yeah, it's making fun of pyramid schemes. So it's like, I don't want to join your pyramid life crisis. Matter of fact, I'd rather join ISIS.
That's the original line.
A year or so ago, ISIS was, you know, we don't talk much about ISIS anymore.
Yeah. What's the deal? But that Taliban? One was, yeah, no love of, for the Taliban?
Yeah, that one was kind of bold and people were like, oh. But then March 11th was a show. COVID was just coming. I was like, oh, this coronavirus.
Right. Perfect
I'm gonna,
rhyme.
I'm going to try that. So I joined a pyramid. I'd rather get the coronavirus and people lost it.
They like erupted. Loudest laugh of the night. I have it on camera. It's crazy.
We're doing it. We're doing it Monday night. Can't wait. It's my favorite part of the show.
It's great.
Be good.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. Do less guess. Episode 28? 9? I don't know anymore.
It's in the 20s.
It is in the 20s for sure. Hope you guys are enjoying the new setup. Shout out Derek. He's killing it. And we, yeah, get your tickets if you haven't. Jeez, get your merch. Spread the love of the Do Less Guests. And we'll talk to you every Thursday.
Yeah. Hope you guys have a good weekend. See you later.
Peace.